With questions about Japan's nuclear energy supply, where's the country going to get its power?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Japan's government says it is decommissioning four of the nuclear reactors at Fukushima. And now it's ordering new safety measures at all of the country's nuclear plants. The BBC's Mark Worthington is in Tokyo with the latest. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Steve.
So does this mean Japan won't get power from these reactors ever again?
Yes, that's exactly what it means. They're so badly damaged that they can never be used again. And it's going to be a long time before we can even get to a point where that decommissioning can start. But the big issue at the moment is there are still a number of other plants that aren't producing power. And we've been told today they're not going to be up and running again for at least another month until safety measures there can be reassessed.
And how is the country going to replace, you know, the energy sources?
That's going to be the real challenge. There's a lot of talk now that the reconstruction in the areas devastated by the tsunami will be very much focused on renewable energy. But in the short term, there are going to be huge shortages. And whether they bring in some kind of daylight saving or power rationing, the challenges are going to be enormous.
Do they look to the rest of the world for help in that?
Increasingly, they are looking to the rest of the world, both for help and for ideas. Japan is coming increasingly to realize that the challenge with the nuclear power plant and the challenge with its energy shortage is something that's going to require all the help it can get.
The BBC's Mark Worthington in Tokyo. Mark, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Meanwhile, because of some serious money issues, Fukushima's operator, Tokyo Electric, says it probably won't be able to continue working on a $10 billion reactor project in South Texas. Today, China's third most popular website dropped Google's search engine from its site, just a week after Google blamed the Chinese government for blocking its Gmail service. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports now there's even more bad news for the search giant.
It looks like Google Maps will be the next thing to go. Tomorrow is the government-imposed deadline for Google to submit its application to keep providing the map service in China. Google hasn't bothered submitting anything yet. China Market Research Group's Sean Ryan says Google has an attitude problem.
Google really said to the government, do what we say or else.
Ryan says Google has claimed to be the victim of Chinese censorship after it agreed to allow the government to censor its search results 5 years ago when it created its Chinese site. Since then, Ryan says Google has offered China little wiggle room with how the company operates within the country's borders. Ryan says Google's behavior is about more than just Google. He says it's turned Chinese officials against other websites like Facebook and Twitter, both of which are blocked in China.
If Google is not going to adhere to the rules, even though they originally agreed to, then how can you trust anybody else?
And that's why China's recently pushed for homegrown domestic players like Baidu to increase their market share. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European stocks are higher. Japan's Nikkei was up 2.5% today. Japanese auto part shortages are now hitting Honda and Toyota plants in North America. Toyota's gone so far as to ask dealers to stop ordering hundreds of parts for fear of running out. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 81 points to close at 12,279.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com.
We've been hearing a lot lately about drug violence in Mexico, but that's not stopping a lot of wealthy people from investing there. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler now, and why venture capital is taking off south of the border.
Historically, entrepreneurs in Mexico have had a hard time raising venture capital for startups. American Paul Alstrom saw a trillion-dollar economy and a big opportunity.
It's not every day you get a chance to establish an industry in a country.
Alstrom runs the venture capital firm Alta Ventures Mexico. Mexican pension funds have only recently been allowed to invest in private equity. The country hosted its first venture capital conference last May. Alstrom says the number of new VC firms is taking off.
There are five solid ones that actually have raised capital that are putting money to work. And then there's another five or six that are in process. So I would suspect at the next conference, we would have 15 funds, whereas last conference we had two.
Has the drug cartel violence hurt investments?
It is definitely not hurting, and it might be accelerating the internal investment.
In fact, some entrepreneurs are trying to combat crime in the country through economic development. Mauricio Garcia runs the investment fund Amber Capital. It has funded affordable private high schools and colleges.
From high school on, there's almost no infrastructure. After secondary school, there are not a lot of big opportunities for people to start working.
Garcia hopes to attract some of the unemployed youth who might otherwise find work with criminal gangs.
I'm convinced that at one point they didn't have the money to pay for school, or they finished secondary school, but the opportunities that they had in front of them were not attractive at all. Going to grayer areas of the economy was more attractive to them.
Rogelio de los Santos is a partner in Alta Ventures Mexico. He also believes that venture capital startups can improve the country's security situation.
We're going to do it by creating jobs, by providing opportunities for all the young people of Mexico.
Investing in Mexico could do more than counter the influence of drug cartels. Mexico is the second largest consumer of American exports. So investments in Mexican companies could help the economic recovery in the U.S. In Monterrey, Mexico, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, fitness guru Richard Simmons is sweating on the taxiway. Simmons is the new face of in-flight safety at Air New Zealand.
First, let's stretch it out and lose that baggage. Stretch it up to the overhead locker or slide it under the seat in front of you. Stretch and slide. Yeah, you're a giraffe.
I wonder if the airline fee for earplugs just went up. Check out our video, by the way, the video of Richard Simmons at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
College tuition and fees are high and rising, which presents a problem for the schools.
The challenge for higher education, and has been for a long time and will continue to be, is how do we maintain access at reasonable prices and still generate enough revenue to provide a quality product.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Tuition discounting is a great deal for students, not so much though for the schools they'll attend. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.